and taking your calls at 1-800-580-2372, 1-800-580-2372, in conversation with Jeff Norbury, Executive Director of Newgate 180. Newgate 180 offers addiction counseling services to, in particular, well, actually, in particular, it's for men, and services all across, for men all across the country. And I wanted to turn the topic towards teens, because you mentioned emerging problems such as crystal meth, cocaine use found in younger individuals as opposed to older individuals using those drugs. And the questions that arise when, if a parent finds out that their teen is abusing drugs, that is, they are smoking up every day, they are drinking, that they notice that there is a effect on their schoolwork. They're not, their grades that used to be good are now mm-hmm. tumbling. So there are markers of something happening. And when the parent approaches a teen, what should they say when the teen will usually retort, well, you did stuff when you were younger too. Mm-hmm. So there is that initial step on how to get around that particular confrontation so that the teen doesn't just turn off and say, well, I'm not going to listen to you because you're being a hypocrite. How does one approach this problem?
First things first, and I know being a parent myself, it's a very hard thing to do, but be a parent first. Don't be a friend. And, you know, be very cautious and respectful of what these types of drugs can do, and in a very, very short period of time. But first of all, there are two real areas of looking at it in terms of the signs, especially in younger people. But these do relate to right across the board in a different context. In the physical side, you're going to be looking at obvious signs of coordination, smell, and dilated pupils and things of that nature. Sleeping habits tend to change. There's a physical manifestation in terms of there's a need for more drugs to get the same effect, weight loss or gain, euphoria, manic type of behavior, extreme highs and lows. They become more tolerant and dependent on these drugs, and you might see running noses or nosebleeds, paranoia, aggression, fast talking, all that kind of thing. But really what is developing also is a psychological aspect in terms of the person really is changing, becoming withdrawn, loss of interest in things that were very important, problems at school. They tend to change their circle of friends and things of that nature. But having experienced those signs and what we've just been talking about, parent has to draw the line somewhere. And what was possibly good in the youth or early days of everyone's life, perhaps people were involved in drugs or drink too much. You have to practice what you preach. You can't be expected to be listened to by your kids if you're doing the similar things. Seek out help yourself, but be very firm, be very fair, but be very, very diligent, and don't take anything for granted. Addicts, especially younger people, will be extremely creative mm-hmm. in terms of hiding these things. And I'll go so far as to say I had a lady who had called me several months ago, and she was terrified of breaking the trust factor of going into her son's room. She obviously had seen some signs that I've just been mm-hmm. discussing, but lived in fear of breaking that trust factor. Well, the point is, if you feel you have to do that, there's a reason for you to do that. Going back to where I started with this response, be a parent first and foremost, then a friend.
So the fact that the teen will come back and say, well, you did something in the past, doesn't come into play at all then?
It shouldn't. No. It's about what is happening now. And, you know, sometimes I think most people I know, myself included, we've in our younger days have pushed the envelope somewhat and things of that nature. But you have to lead by example. And sometimes the honesty of expressing yourself in those terms that you have been there, you do realize how important life is now with your children in it. And yes, we've all made mistakes, but I don't intend to continue that, and we can change together. But somewhere along the line, you have to be completely honest.
So in other words, that it's a matter of telling or talking to your teen and saying that I may have done certain things, but I learned from that. I'm imparting that upon you so that you don't fall into a trap where you have difficulties and you have to try and engender a bit of trust as well, to say that that I'm not dictating to you, but rather expressing to you that there is, from your behavior, a problem, and whatever happened in the past is indeed past. Just like I could have been snowboarding or doing something and wasn't wearing a helmet at the time when I was a teenager and I hurt myself, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be wearing a helmet now, that we know that by wearing helmets you can prevent injury. So I think along that line is what you're saying people should be taking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a parent, that's the course that I would follow. And but also it's really, really important that these things, any kind of issue that you may have or even think is taking place, seek out a professional, your medical doctor, counselors, companies like Newgate 180. Even though our target audience is working or people functional in the home and workplace males or male adults, let's say, we do take calls from family members, and we will our role in society is to help people from addiction. So call Newgate. We can help.
Now, with regards to other reasons for addiction, there is, I would say, a substantial minority of people who do suffer from mental illness. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of times this goes unrecognized. People with bipolar disorder, with depressions. Right. There's an article in the January 12th edition of the National Post, and actually it's on Canada.com, that says workers feeling low, depression impacts 500,000 Canadian workers. And people being people, they don't go out of their way to overuse or abuse a drug. It's not a matter of taking the drug and saying, oh, I'm going to use this so I can harm myself. It's rather people do things sometimes to escape.
Absolutely.
Or they do things to feel momentarily better, to ease some of the pain that they're experiencing. But as a result of doing that, they can get caught up in that, and it becomes more and more of a regular condition. So there's, as you mentioned, it's a very complex factor, where complex disease and where you have triggers for addiction. You have circumstances where people, for example, their work area, 500,000 Canadians that are depressed at any one time. That's not saying 500,000 Canadians mm-hmm. then turn to alcohol or drugs as a means of dealing with it. But there are conditions where people aren't diagnosed. I know that some of the people who have addiction problems, who are abusing various drugs, when you interview them or you talk to them, you find out that they indeed have bipolar disorder, or they indeed have major depressive disorders for which they are not being treated. And so as a result, a lot of their lives has been based upon diseases that they've had where they have not been diagnosed, they haven't been treated, and as a result, they self-medicate.
Absolutely.
To do that. Mm-hmm. And so is there places where people can get information about that? Is there a means for people to recognize that, what is the underlying mechanism for this addiction? On this show, we talk about pathophysiology of disease. That mm-hmm. is the how diseases develop. What is the actual mechanism mm-hmm. that leads to the disease? And for addiction, I think that is equally important, because if you don't understand the mechanism, it's very hard to treat.
Correct, correct. And as you know, Barry, we have had people enter Newgate and other programs that we know of that have been either misdiagnosed or just not diagnosed at all. And the industry calls this concurrent disorder. And we're finding there's more and more of this, a psychological disorder that's the underlying problem, in a sense that people are, as you say, medicating. Anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, things of that nature. That the debate is on in the industry from a psychological point of view, that these things, you have to treat the addiction first or the psychological disorder. Now the last few years, they call it concurrent because you can and should address this at the same time. These areas are often overlooked, but do come out in a professional assessment. Most of the certified organizations do have a psychological doctor of psychology on staff for assessments. And the concurrent disorder assessment is extremely important to the long-term recovery success rate. Identifying it, treating it, and along with the addiction. We had a gentleman from New York City come into our program several months ago, and he had spent his entire life undiagnosed with bipolar. Mm-hmm. And you, as a matter of fact, were instrumental in helping us diagnose that, along with our psychologist. And once he was medicated and the proper prescription was in place, the gentleman in what I'm discussing is doing extremely well right now.
Well, and that raises a very good point. It is tremendously important. We had Mike McDonald on in December. He was talking about his bipolar disorder and the effect it had on his life and the behaviors it engenders in you to trying to cope with the disease. And again, it's important for people to understand that drug use in itself is not a means to an end. It's usually an indication of something else that is going on in somebody's life and is a means of trying to cope for some that has gone out of control and usually goes out of control very quickly. So we're going to take a small break, and when we get back to in the next segment, we have a caller from London, England, who wants to talk about their son relapsing and being through, I guess, a rehabilitation as well. We'll get into that discussion coming up in just a few minutes. We're in discussion with Jeff Norbury from Newgate 180, talking about alcohol and drug abuse. And as well, in the last segment, we'll be getting into where you can get information, what numbers to call, what websites are available, how you can get help for yourself or for somebody that you know. 1-800-580-2372 is the number to call. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin, and you're listening to Sunday House Call.